1490 AM in Montreal.
Multiple groups in the city have condemned the participation of the cycling team Israel Premier Tech at the Grand Prix cycling race this coming Sunday. Israel Premier Tech is a cycling team who were invited by the UCI, the world's governing body for the sport of cycling, to race in various cities, including Montreal. The team Israel Premier Tech is owned by Canadian-Israeli business magnate Sylvan Adams, who is a friend of Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, a man wanted by the International Court of Justice for war crimes. Groups like Palestinian and Jewish Unity, the Palestinian Youth Movement, and Bikers for Palestine have all condemned the participation of Israel Premier Tech at the race and are urging the City of Montreal to call for the team's ban. This is Bill Vandriel, an organizer for the local group Bikers for Palestine.
This is a team owned by Sylvan Adams, who's previously a Montreal-based billionaire. He makes it very clear that the point of the team is to promote Israel. In his own words, he talks about how it can be used to change the image of Israel on the world stage. And when it comes to what's happening in Gaza, he doesn't mince words at all. When he's talking about the genocide, he talks gleefully about how they're going to mop up in Gaza, this kind of genocidal rhetoric. And we've seen as well, he's a close personal friend of Benjamin Netanyahu, and even Netanyahu is tweeting his support for the team.
There is precedent for bans from the UCI on political and moral grounds. The UCI banned Russian teams from competition after the invasion of Ukraine. Vandriel says a similar stance must be taken at different levels when it comes to Israel.
We're outraged by this. We're disgusted that an event in our city is going to be used to promote a genocide in that way. We're disgusted by the complicity of Valerie Plante and the city government. We're disgusted by the complicity of the UCI.
The groups will be protesting the event as the team rides by the Georgia Tiencartier Monument at the base of Mont Royal on Sunday, September 14th at 1 p.m.
Today we would look back in shame in the way that Hitler was able to host the Olympics. So I think we need to recognize that there is a role, what we call sports washing, which is using sports to kind of normalize and make it acceptable and kind of manufacture the consent for these atrocities to be carried out.
Israel Premier Tech would not respond for comment, but refers to itself as a, quote, professional cycling team. Sylvan Adams has called the team ambassadors for Israel. For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes.
Hi, you are listening to Dreamscapes on CJLO.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Nina speaking too loudly into the microphone. It's another episode of Dreamscapes. How's everyone doing? Was there an eclipse this week? There was. We're on it. We're on the moon report for you guys. There was a moon. It did a thing. This time it was a solar eclipse that was not visible from North America. But I do have a story. So today's episode was actually going to be about, summer trends. But we're not doing that today. Or at least if we do it, it's me by myself. I'm going to talk about it with myself. I'm going to decide what the summer trends were. I can do that. But another time we will have an episode with some, experts on summer trends, just by virtue of the fact that they existed in the summer in Montreal, so therefore they can be experts. By the way, we just heard Lunar Phobia by Nojoy, who is playing in Pop Montreal this week. And I think this is one of the only songs I've played more than once on this show. I'm pretty good about not replaying stuff, but Lunar Phobia is pretty apt for today, because today I wanted to spend at least some of the time focusing on some of the superstitions around eclipses, especially because I was in a group chat yesterday where one of my friends made soup, and it just became so bitter. It was soup that she just did it the normal way that she always did it. Did everything just the way she always did it. And it just turned out so bitter. And then we were talking about how, yeah, actually there are some superstitions around making food that has anything that's kind of based around a still water in a pot, you're boiling it or whatever, but it's we kind of came up with our own idea of what is and isn't good to cook during eclipses based off of her experience and then another friend's experience making chili during the last eclipse, which was on the 7th. So our recommendation, just anecdotally, is don't make soups or chili in and around or around eclipses. But then I decided, I was well, we're so focused on the moon on this show. I mean, and on dreams, but the moon kind of fits in with that. What are the superstitions around making food during an eclipse? And according to the internet, there is this idea, at least traditionally, that foods that you cook during an eclipse become contaminated or poisonous. I had heard it had something to do with the fact that during an eclipse, the normal spirits that are guarding things kind of switch off, or they kind of lose focus. And so then other spirits can get in and poison stuff. But, it could just be that the energy is a little bit off. And so so our understanding is that soup is bad. Don't make soup on an eclipse. And it seems like some cultures even advocated for not cooking at all, or even fasting during eclipses. We discovered, anecdotally, cookies are okay to make during the eclipse. The cookies that people made turned out fine. Pickles turned out fine, although they were not fermented pickles because botulism, but if you put them in the fridge and it's straightforward, they turn out okay. Anyway, so these are just some of the things that we were trying to figure out. In both cases, the chili and in the soup had to be discarded. Because I think, who knows exactly what I want to say the science behind it, but I also think that science probably is never going to want to support these findings. But I think anecdotally, it makes sense to me. So maybe we just go with the anecdotal evidence for this, because I know, there's kind of going to be no scientific backing up of this. But experientially, it is true. If you have had weird experiences with water-based foods during eclipses, please let us know. You can call in. I think we're going to listen to another band now that is going to be at Pop Montreal. Ribbon Skirt, and then I'm going to come back with some more eclipse lore for you guys. We'll see if we can get a call in. And yeah, and if you want to call in with your dreams, please do. I should say what the number is, and I'm going to I don't understand. One second. I know how to read numbers, so just bear with me here. I know there was just an eclipse, but I do know how. Okay. 514-848-7471. That's the number to call in. And I promise it's going to be okay if you want to call in with a dream. But until then, we're going to listen to Ribbon Skirt.
Montreal's Tiniest Festival is back for its fifth edition. Tiny Fest, presented by Worst Dad Ever and CGLO 1690 AM, is taking over Petit Ars, Casa del Popolo, La Sala Rosa, and La Sotraneo from October 2nd to 4th. Come on out to see your favorite bands from Montreal and beyond, such as Pool Girl, Gus Engelhorn, Clay Pigeon, HRT, and so many more. Festival passes and individual show tickets are available for purchase now. For more information, check out worst.ever on Facebook and worst.ever _ on Instagram. See you there.
Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
And have the iconic sounds of cinema?
Well, then tune in to At the Movies every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. only on CJLO 1690 a.m. with your hosts,
Remy
and Danny.
You are listening to CJLO 1690 a.m. Hi, you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. This is Dreamscapes, and it's another episode where it's just me, your friendly Dreamscapes host with no name. And I really wanted to tell you guys about next week's episode, but I absolutely do have a superstition, which is that when I say what's going to happen, it doesn't happen. So instead, just stay tuned. I might like give some community events updates, and like maybe some of those are going to get covered next week, maybe not, but I'm not going to announce anything. But what I was going to say is that, no, I've forgotten. So, okay, let's do some community announcements. So you guys know that September 30th, it's Reconciliation Day. There's a bunch of stuff going on. I think I will post a link to a couple things on Instagram, just so, like, I think I'm pretty sure people are aware of like the main things going on, but maybe there's a couple things that people don't know about. I know also there's going to be a there's going to be an event for this, it's a relaunch of a book and an album called Dark Sky Preserve, A Literary and Musical Inquiry, which is by the late Montreal poet and musician Ian Ferrier. And that's going to be at the, I just was there, the Morgan Arboretum in October. So they're going to do, they're going to like play music and do spoken word, and it's going to be at night. So the moon is going to be out. It's going to be awesome. So stay tuned for more information about that. And I have to say that the last time I was at the Morgan Arboretum, I, went out with a dear friend of mine, and we put out some blankets, and we wanted to look at the meteor shower that was that night. And it was me and two other people, and we were talking about how like it smelled a lot like a skunk, and we sort of looked around. We didn't see anything, and then my friend was saying, you know, at the end of the night, she was like, yeah, when I sat down, I felt this strange crunch, a very unusual crunching sound. And I decided immediately to pretend like it never happened and just put it out of my head. But then when we picked up the blankets at the end of the night, and part, this is moon related as well. When we got there, there was a kind of fullish moon that night, but it was like behind the trees. So we couldn't see anything when we sat down. And then by the end of us looking at the meteor shower, the moon was sort of out, and so we could kind of see where we were sitting, and there was a dead skunk underneath the blanket. It was like it had been dead a long time. It wasn't like we didn't, it was, it had been dead a long time. Still was a weird experience. And people asked questions about what the symbolism of a skunk is. So we can take from that what we would like. I would have preferred to like not have had the experience, but I guess certainly drew my attention to skunks for a while there. So anyways, lots of things can happen at the Morgan Arboretum is what I am saying. You never know. So maybe everybody should go to that event. I can almost guarantee you won't sit on a skunk because it won't just be on the ground randomly somewhere. I think they're going to be in like a gazebo, which is really cool. I'm gonna play a little bit more music and then come back with a little bit more eclipse cooking information. This is something that I think it is. It's for me, it feels like it's something that's superstitious, like that, you know, it's based around traditional folklore, but it makes a lot of intuitive sense. I feel like it kind of fits in with how people sometimes experience different lunar events. So anyways, I'm going to keep researching it, get back to you guys with some more information. Okay, let's listen to some knitting on CJLO 1690 AM. I'm back with some hard-hitting news about the moon news. First of all, German mythology, the sun is female. So everybody, like, stop the presses. We've been talking for a long time here about how, like, the sun is associated with masculinity. But German mythology, female sun, male moon, an eclipse is when they get married. So my mind is blown. there's this idea of also like this dragon, like in India or like in Vedic astrology, there's like kind of the head and the tail of the dragon, that of a dragon that is associated with eclipses. Yeah, like it's, there's this other thing in Indonesian and Polynesian culture, that the, I guess it's the dragon Ra who consumes the sun, but burns his tongue and so spits it out. And it really made me think of when, so my friend who made the soup, she like was like, oh my gosh, it's so bitter. I guess I'm going to, she like threw out the broth, but like kept like the elements she had used to make the soup. Cause those, she was like, these will still be good. And then she like tried to incorporate it into another soup. And then when she fed it to like her young son, he spat it out immediately. It was like, he knew it was like eclipse soup or something. I mean, kids also spit stuff out. Let's not like read into it too much, but it also, I don't know. Yeah. That to me, things are adding up in the lunar world, the mooner world. I've got a couple other things here I'm looking at. I guess like the thing that I always think about too is just that like I do find that the like there, even if we don't have a total solar or lunar eclipse, there is there's a distinct kind of lighting quality that happens around eclipses that I think people notice, even if it's on a subconscious level. So I do find it like makes things eerie. I don't know. I think it adds to a general malaise that could easily translate into people being like more forgetful while they cook or like, who knows? Here it says that there's a description of solar eclipses and weather. So fog or dew or other precipitation resulting from an eclipse was considered dangerous. In Japanese culture, people thought that poison would drop from the sky and cover, and they would cover their wells. Yeah, this is a thing. I think in lots of different cultures during eclipses, people were worried about still water or like potable water getting poisoned. And that's like really across a lot of different cultures, like to the point that like I don't think they were all communicating with each other about this. So it's quite interesting. In Alaska, people believe that the moisture and dew from like during an eclipse could cause sickness. And so dishes were turned upside down and affected utensils were washed. Interesting. So there, yeah, stuff about water, stuff about food. Okay, 1 second. Yeah, okay, sorry. I'm reading on the radio. It's riveting. I think there's like superstition, which we like shouldn't always play into, but also there's like anecdotal evidence of things. And I don't know, I'm here to say like, I think there's definitely something weird that happens with food during eclipses. Has that been your experience? You can let us know. You can also call in with a dream if you want. Yeah, I'm going to play a little bit more music and then, yeah, we'll get into more stuff. One of the topics of the day that I still can get into, even if I'm here on my own, is, was it a Bernard Sumner summer? Summer's not totally over yet. It's not. I know it's like going down to like 6 degrees now at night. I know it's going to be really rainy all week, but like we still have like highs of 20. Okay, before I play music, this was something I was considering recently. I was like, okay, summer really only ends when like, you know, like the high is like 10 degrees and the low is like zero. Like to me, that's when it's fall. But, you know, I've noticed that the geese have started migrating now. That's a sign that it is kind of fall, kind of not summer anymore. The leaves are turning. Like I didn't ask them to start turning right now, but they are going for it. The colors are happening, which like I'm happy for them, but I just thought we had like a little bit more time before the colors would change.
But, you know, I'm just trying to figure out if I think summer ends when all of these natural events occurred, or when it's like, I think it's too cold, and so that means it's the end of summer. And I guess it makes more sense for it to be when, you know, and it's hard to tell now with like the natural cycles because of climate change, but like, seems like it, nature thinks it's fall now. Like the leaves and the birds are kind of going like, that's it, it's time to get ready for fall. But we do, I feel like we have a little bit more summer weather is what I'm saying though. So we still have some more time to decide if it was a Bernard Sumner summer or not. What is a Bernard Sumner summer? People have been saying it's a summer where you're like a little bit to a lot depressed. You're wearing shorts everywhere all the time. I don't know. Spending time by yourself. I don't know. That's why I want to have a discussion with people to figure out like who is Bernard Sumner? You know what I mean? I guess you wear a trench coat. Do you also wear a trench coat? Not sure. Impressed by trees. That's a Bernard Sumner story. I know. Like he said he didn't see a tree until he was 20. Cause he lived in a really industrial area of England. Okay, impressed with trees. I was impressed with trees this summer. Did I have a Bernard Sumner summer? I don't know. We also were saying, should it be a Peter Hook summer? Station manager Lisa interviewed Peter Hook. That was pretty cool. Could be a Peter Hook summer. Not sure what the brand is for that, like what that looks like exactly. And then I think it was this, and I think every summer is this. It's Bug Girl Summer, which I think Stereo Gum was saying because of the Note Joy album and then also SZA's album with like her fully in bug mode. But I don't want to just have that be one summer. Like I know Brat Summer was like one summer and that's fine, but Bug Girl Summer I think is every summer. And we can have a Bug Girl Fall, Bug Girl Winter. Bugs still exist in winter. I still see them. So, you know, to be continued. I just also noticed another interesting piece of information. So I think I'm going to, I'll share this extra one. People from Benin in West Africa, is it that the people who live there, it says switch the gender roles of the sun and moon. So I guess the person writing this is like, usually like in Western culture, we say the sun is male and the moon is female. So, okay. So it's like in the German one, like the sun is female, I guess, and the moon is male, and suggests that the orbs are busy. But when they get together during the eclipse, they turn off the lights for privacy. Okay, sure. I mean, whatever you think. I guess maybe we should write our own mythology about what happens during eclipses. Actually, okay, I'm going to play a song and then get back to you guys with some eclipse mythology that maybe I'll try to make up right now. It might take me a little bit more time than one song, but we'll try to play a song that's long. I'm not going to play all of this song, but this is Pauline Oliveros, Horse Sings from Cloud. And Pauline Oliveros is really, really cool. And it's a kind of amazing that I don't think we've played anything by her yet on this show, because I really try to stick with the themes that people bring in from their dreams and the symbols. And I like to let the people who share their dreams like help choose the music. So yeah, there's lots of bangers that are like, I would be my go-to that I haven't gone to yet. So I don't know if this qualifies as a banger, but it's definitely interesting. And so we're going to listen to a little bit now. So this is Pauline. Thank you.
How do you get up in the morning and put your pants on? Where do you put the pants on? I'll explain it to you someday. How do you do it? How do you get up? How do you do it?
It's pretty simple, actually. You tune in to CJLO 1690 AM.
Put your pants on, buddy.
Check out Jay Nice and Lady Oracle in the Limelight every Saturday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. for underground hip-hop and R&B right here on CJLO 1690 AM.
Pop Montreal is back for its 24th edition. From September 24th to 28th, come experience the best festival in the city as Plateau Montréal becomes lit up with shows featuring so many CJLO favorites like No Joy, US Girls, Chanel Beads, Isabella Love Story, Do Make Say Think, Hand Habits, Joseph Chabasun, and so many more. On top of concerts, join us for the Pop Symposium featuring discussions on all the music industry related hot topics. You can also check out Art Pop, Film Pop, and Comedy Pop for more events happening all throughout the festival. Don't wait. Festival passes and individual tickets for Pop Montreal are available now on popmontreal.com.
Yeah, 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 this is CJLO. Won't you stay tuned for some more good music?
Hi, you're listening to Dreamscapes on CJLO, and today we're talking about Do eclipses make food go bad? And the reason that I am talking about this is because this is a thing that came up during the last eclipse cycle. I'm reading stuff. I'm reading that, like, obviously scientists don't think that it affects anything, but I don't know. It feels like one of those things that, like, science isn't going to support, and that's fine, but that anecdotally, like, now I'm reading people being like, yeah, like, in my religion we didn't eat any food during eclipses, and that also seems like, you know, like, it's, people should follow the things that their culture sort of prescribes, as, you know, as long as it's not harmful to themselves or others. But, like, yeah, I think if you need to eat during an eclipse, it's okay. But yeah, it just seems like anecdotally, like, something weird happens to, like, water-based stuff. And so just to know that, I guess, I don't know. It's an interesting thing. I'd love to talk about it again with some people who maybe have had this experience too. So it's Pop Montreal this week. So there's going to be a lot of music happening in the city. Maybe I'll play. What did they say in that nice ad? Who else? Who have I not played from Pop? I guess. Let's see. Let me just do a little thing here. So guess what? Next week, no eclipse. And no full or new moon. That was this week. So, you know, in 2 weeks from now, that's how the lunar cycle works. It's like new moon and then, in 2 weeks from now? Anyways, I'm going to look it up after in a minute. But the lunar cycle always has, like, a new moon lunation and then a full moon. And then, it's 28 days. So we're good now. We're good. We don't have to worry about the moon doing things to us or us thinking that it is. We can just live our lives. And guess what? Yeah, maybe everything's going to be fine now that the eclipses are over. I don't know. Who knows what the moon has in store for us. Oh, by the way, I totally messed this up. There's another mini moon. I saved this information and we have like 10 minutes left. There's another mini moon that is circling the Earth. We had one like last year, but now we have another one. I'm going to look up that information for you guys. But first, we're going to listen to somebody who's playing at Pop, Chanel Beads. And this is called Police Scanner.
Thank you.
right. Yeah. Listening to Dreamscapes. CJLO still here. Okay. Here is the mini moon report. There's been an invisible moon that has been lurking around the Earth for 60 years, unseen by telescopes. I am not paraphrasing. I'm just reading from an article. So sorry if this is plagiarism. It's not. So there's another, they're called quasi moons. And they think it's like a piece of our moon that kind of like got dislocated, and now it's also behaving like a moon. It's so here's its name, 2025 PN7, so catchy. And it wasn't noticed until now. I guess like what makes it a moon is that it is made out of the same material that a moon would be made out of. And it's very, very small, so that's why they didn't see it. Let me just check this for a second. Okay. And well, okay, it's a natural space rock. Thank you for, okay. What is, oh, here we go. It's answering all my questions. I was like, what is the difference between a quasi-moon and a mini-moon? What am I going to tell the audience? Quasi-moon versus mini-moon. Here we go. The difference between a quasi-moon and a mini-moon is their orbits. Quasi-moons are engaged in a one-to-one mean motion resonance with our planet, but they are not gravitationally bound to it. Okay, I'm going to have to take a minute to absorb that. But then every now and then they get captured by Earth's gravity and become mini-moons. Okay, so quasi-moons can become mini-moons. And the status is temporary and lasts just a matter of months. Oh, so maybe this quasi-moon will eventually become a mini-moon, and then we're going to, you know, be in mini-moon. This is a whole thing, too, because it's like, what happens when the mini-moon goes in front of the sun? Like, do we even notice because it's so small? Is that an eclipse, or are we just very, like, primary moon-centric? Okay, let's see. It'll be with us for another 60 years. It doesn't present a threat to Earth. Okay, and then it'll kind of just kind of orbit away. Interesting. You know, you learn something new every day. Sometimes more than one thing a day. You can learn lots of stuff. If you spend time on the internet, let me tell you, not all of it's real, and you shouldn't believe a lot of it, but some of it is true. So I wanted to look up, I wanted to give you guys a moon report, like, you know, like a classic one, like when we're going to be at illumination 100% again. So I'm going to just bring this up. Yeah, the moon is now at 1.0% because we just had a new moon solar eclipse. So the moon was like a new moon. So it was at zero on yesterday, and then on October 6th, we'll have a full moon. So it will be at 100% that night. So that's exciting for everybody who loves moons. I think I'm going to leave it there for today. Another perfectly organized episode, almost entirely about moons, which is, you know what? It's fine. We're gonna get back into the dream zone. Don't worry. We'll be back next week with a show. And I'm gonna play some more stuff that's at Pop Montreal. I'm gonna play some Fireball Kid. We'll see what happens after that. You're listening to CJLO, the only station in Montreal that will give you the most up-to-date moon news. And I delivered today. I did forget last week when I had learned about the quasi-moon, but today I explained the difference between a quasi-moon and a mini-moon, and I don't remember exactly what it is, but I'm going to go back and reread it, and I think we're all really happy that we heard the difference, even if we didn't totally integrate the difference. Yep. Good job, team. Here we go. This is a song by Fireball Kid on CJLO. 1690 AM. I don't want it to be too loud. Is it too loud? It's not too loud.